Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back to the Glass Cannon Podcast. This is a show where a bunch of good time pals yuck it up, bust the occasional chop, and make actual play podcasts of your favorite role-playing games, games like Shadow Dark. If you are watching this right now, boom, subscribe on youtube.com/theglasscannon. Boom, follow us on Instagram @theglasscannon. Boom, go to jointhenaish.com and sign up for our Patreon, the best subscription service in gaming. Find me another group that puts out the quality and quantity that we do. I'll wait. Oh, I don't have to wait that long because you can't.
Wow. Definitely on the quantity part.
Wow.
Definitely on the certainly quantity.
Undeniable.
Undeniable in the quantity department. And also be sure to rate and review us and download while you're at it, especially on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Matthew, are you ready with the Apple Podcast review of the week?
I am ready. This is, a 5-star review.
From who?
We're doing great.
Comes to us from Paddington Bear Zero.
Oh. That's like a real person.
It's the Paddington Bear, obviously.
It's like, kind of like the inspiration for Paddington Bear is what I'm reading.
Oh, so. I
it's
see.
Like Godzilla minus one.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Would you like a marmalade sandwich?
Yes.
That's his thing.
Yes.
He likes marmalade sandwich.
It's true. He does. 5 stars.
Go nice.
Title of the view. Nice pod.
Ooh.
Oh.
Text. Better than the other TTRPG pods I've tried.
Wow.
Oh. Is that it?
Proving.
That's great. We don't have any specifics about what Paddington Bear Zero has tried, but I would assume every other one.
Everything.
Everything.
He's tried everything.
Yeah. He's Paddington.
He's Paddington.
Discerning taste.
Right.
Yeah.
I have another thing. Joe hit me during the intro, and I want to know why.
Are you hard? Are you hard?
I was trying to do a physical representation of busting the occasional chop.
So you busted him in the chop?
And then I realized I just punched him in the arm. That's all that really happened.
Which is nowhere near his chop.
I also like that you told the teacher that Joe hit you.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Is it bruise-worthy,
no,
you think?
No, I was just confused. We're in a mostly audio medium, and this shot is usually on your face alone.
So no, it's not. Yes. Francis always cuts to the great stuff I do. Right, Francis?
Like when you physically assault other people.
All the violence you commit. They get a good shot of that every time. Yeah.
I think
was it a good wallop?
No.
No. It was a very,
I think Skid saw you.
The occasional
for
chomp.
The audio.
Listen, should have hit him in the face.
Yeah, he did it again. It's I think Skid saw you do that, and I turned to Skid, and I think Skid like moved away from me, afraid
right. that we were
all going to start hitting each other.
Yeah, I'm always afraid that Sydney's going to hit me.
But what did you just say?
Oh God!
I told you not to say that on camera.
I know. See, this is what I have to deal with.
They're recording this.
In my mind now, I'm imagining that Francis goes to all the extra work to cut a Joe cut.
just to show him.
Time to jam. Right.
It's like it's cutting him a lot.
Here's this week's ep, Joe. Yeah. No reason to watch
this
it live.
This is what it looked like. No reason to tune in.
A lot of good stuff you put in there this week.
Camera loves you, buddy.
Have you guys seen this video that is sweeping the interwebs? I know you haven't, Joe.
Nope.
It's Leanne Rimes getting her jaw released.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay, so yeah. It is a video of her at a, I don't know what the...
A recent video.
Yeah, recent video. This is like a couple weeks old by the time you're watching this. And I don't know what the person's title is. If they're like a jaw therapist, a jaw masseuse.
Jaw whisperer.
But there is a technique known as jaw release. Yeah. And as a singer, someone who's been singing, she was like a child star singer, I think, right?
Yes.
He gets in there and like he's got her thumb. He's wearing gloves. Very sanitary. He's got his thumb in there, way like back deep in her throat. And he's just like, and there it is. And she starts sobbing uncontrollably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this, I guess this is what happens. It relieves a tension that like she was just, it was crazy. You haven't seen this yet?
No, I saw it.
I wonder if everyone would have that experience.
When I was in an acting program, many times people would get up to do
something. Teacher would be like, "Open your mouth."
No, it wouldn't be. Well,
private lesson.
I can't say this.
Close your eyes. This is my thumb.
Everyone else gets to tell stories. I get to get one line in before Troy turns into something else. Anyway, people would get up to like work on something like a monologue, and the teacher would walk up and they would watch them, and you could see like they were nervous or whatever. And they go, "May I demonstrate on you since you hit me?"
Sure.
You got to stick your thumb in my mouth.
Don't put your thumb in my mouth.
Trying to find the video.
They would walk up and they'd be like, here. And they would like touch their shoulder and they would like release the tension and they would just start crying.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Muscular tension, people can carry a lot of sort of trauma.
You can carry trauma in your muscles. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. And a physical release of that tension can lead to an emotional release.
We'll get, I don't want us to get in trouble, but I want you to see it. It's right. Like hysterical, can't breathe, sobbing.
I mean, have you ever had like a back injury or something and then you had like realignment or you had a back injury?
I had a back injury. I never cried.
What did we say last week about taking that trauma and just
covering it?
I worked really hard to rebuild my core and there was never a time when I was like, oh, thank you. However, I did get a psoas release, which made me want to cry. That was the most painful thing.
What is that?
Basically where the physical therapist sticks his entire fist up your asshole and another finger down your urethra and tries to make them meet. Because that's what it felt like.
I want to Google it.
Does he go like this?
I don't think they were doing that.
I don't want to Google, but I don't think they were doing that.
It's a different kind of crying.
He stuck his thumb right as close as possible to the point where I'd be like, sir, I need to see your license to my situation. He's like, yep, just got to get right in there and started rubbing in to release this sort of hip tension. And it was the most excruciating pain I can ever remember, and he had to do it like every time. By the end I would be like, oh, it's not so bad, but like the first time he did it, first, second, third, there was a girl on the table nearby, she goes, this is gonna suck. I was like, what?
Anyways. The thing, I just discovered how you spell psoas, and that was not how I thought it was going to be spelled.
Oh.
I was making a joke in my head that they were creating, they were unblocking the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. I couldn't quite form the joke.
I'm glad you gave it a try anyway.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that into your microphone.
These are my close friends, and I'm just trying stuff out.
It had all the ingredients of a joke.
Your butt is sort of the canal, and I think
right,
the finger
yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's all keep going.
A pun, poop.
Yeah. SOAS.
All the ingredients.
Yeah. So, anyway, SOAS.
Given a little time and effort, it could become a joke.
I feel like I don't want to follow the link for SOAS release tool.
Oh,
that sounds like
is that a band?
I hope so.
Like,
give it up for SOAS release tool.
It's like a tool cover band.
It's a tool cover band. Yeah. We're a very specific tool cover band.
A little more painful to listen to. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Imagine that's every tool.
I can't say that's what I expected it to look like.
Oh, you're seeing it.
Oh.
I'm Googling.
Oh, my God.
He's right up there, right?
No, I'm looking at a tool. That,
but it's basically the two Johnskys. That's the tool.
How do you spell SOAS? Man, both sides.
I think it's P-S-O-A-S.
Yes, that was the big surprise for me.
Yes. SOAS release. Google it. Here's the surprise for our crew. The reason I brought it up is during this break, I have someone coming in to do it to all of them. Come on in, doctor.
Guys, come on in.
I met him in the subway.
Are we paying him or is he paying us?
Don't worry about it. Come in. Oh, you cleaned up.
Hey, it's me, Skid, the guy who comes on here talking about Othera from Crit Heads Gaming. I'm here today to talk to you about Othera from Crit Heads Gaming. Crit Heads Gaming is an independent company comprised of one U.S. veteran that's trying to take on the big guys in the TTRPG space to bring you better worlds to play in. Othera is a new world for you and your table to explore. Their debut adventure module, Cataclysm, was designed to introduce you and your table to this new world, and now their first codex is out to take you even deeper into the lore. Fully immerse into the post-Cataclysm world with deep dives into the pantheon, including the holidays and rituals centered around each of the gods, the factions and their heroes, the lands, their people and culture, and so much more. This is classic steampunk meets sword and sorcery in a post-apocalyptic world where dragons rule the skies. The book has everything you need to fully immerse into Othera and even some adventure hooks for those that like to create their own epic tales. And of course, it is available in three variants, such as a Shadow Dark, a Castles and Crusades, and a system agnostic variant that uses an intuitive 1 to 10 scale with 5 being average, so it's easy to play in any TTRPG system, even non-D20 systems. Follow at Crit Heads Gaming on the platform formerly known as Twitter and share your stories in Othera. It could become official canon in the game. Go ahead and search for it. It is exclusively available on DriveThruRPG. Search Crit Heads Gaming at DriveThruRPG.com. Head on over to DriveThruRPG, search Crit Heads Gaming to get all things Othera, and start exploring this new world that was created by a player for players.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Inspired by jet engine silencers, the Dyson HushJet Purifier powerfully purifies the entire room, quietly, capturing pollen, allergens, and pet dander, removing odors and harmful gases such as NO2, day and night. HushJet, powerful, compact purification that's quiet.
Isn't life grande? And making it better just got easier with Starbucks' new Protein Cold Foam. A little something something to take your favorite drinks up a notch with 15 grams of extra protein. Turn your usual iced caramel latte into a smooth iced caramel protein latte. Add a delicious swirl on top of your drink, just like that. Protein never tasted so good with Starbucks' new Protein Cold Foam. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Folks, we're back and everybody is feeling a lot more relaxed. Tears were shed, but there will be no tears shed for our sponsors, right, Joe?
Yes, the greatest sponsors in the world.
Foundry Virtual Tabletop. Man, I think I feel like Foundry's gonna take a spin. We're going to take a little spin on the old foundry.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Today. It's about time.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot happening in this campaign that we are creating. Also, Norse Foundry.
New dice rolling technique.
We've been having a lot of fun with these.
I forgot to mention last week when we were having so much fun with these guys that the sale is still on.
Oh.
The Norse Foundry sale is still on. So if you haven't taken advantage of it yet, GCP15, code GCP15 at checkout will get you 15% off your order on NorseFoundry.com.
Get one of these big bad boys
until
here.
April 20th. You're running out of time. Until April 20th.
Yeah. And now that we're on like a billboard a week in Times Square, the sponsors are going to come rolling in.
Oh, yeah.
And the first hour of the show is just going to be thanking sponsors. So enjoy this to sponsor thank you while you can. Right, Sydney?
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, yes and.
Right, Peter Gabriel?
You know what?
I can't even.
It's so aggravating, and we had to start recording, I still haven't finished getting mad at her.
It's so aggravating to me.
Were you trying to like poke the bear?
No, I was simply just talking to my friends like I always do, and I said something inflammatory.
Apropos of nothing. I don't know that we need to go into it.
No, I don't think we need to go into it. But it just involved her. We were just all doing our own thing. We weren't even talking about music. And she's like, do you ever notice how Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins sound the same? And all four of us were just kind of like,
we said nothing for a few minutes.
Yeah, but we're all looking
like, what is she trying to say?
I'm just saying, listen to Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes and then take a listen to Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. And there are similarities. In their voices.
The word in. That's it.
They do both say that word.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they are both men who sing.
Mm-hmm. And I immediately was like, she listened to Genesis and then Wikipedia Genesis and stopped reading after the first paragraph.
I didn't even know.
And you were like, oh, that's Peter Gabriel singing.
Yeah. I didn't even know they sang in the same band. Truthfully, didn't even know.
I can't dance.
That was a funny coincidence.
Yeah.
But you didn't know they both sung.
Literally didn't know and just thought they sounded similar. Anyway.
But Peter Gabriel era.
You managed to get one person on your side in this.
Brody. I just want to say to the listeners at home, take a listen. If you agree with me, leave a comment on YouTube or DM me. If you don't agree with me, don't say anything.
No. If you think she's a damn fool, comment twice as hard.
twice as hard.
I'm going to hit enter so hard.
Who wants to do the recap?
It's so funny. It's like I can see you just like in the aftermath of the experience. Like you can't even be like,
I can't even let go of it.
I could go there and it was just going to make me upset. I'm just going to be resigned to, okay.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm still angry.
We all got upset.
I want to know who misinformed her. Who needs a cap?
I'm good.
Still good. Two ups in a row.
I need two.
I'll put one.
Fun fact.
I'll take one.
I can kick off the recap with this. I didn't roll a die last week.
Really?
So that's why I didn't need any caps, yeah.
Whoa. Still fun. Wow. Yeah, all your buddies decided to do downtime. You
shopping.
Go shopping, yes. And you got a bow.
Got a bow.
Well,
now.
I'm spoiling the recap. You got it all queued up there, O'Brien?
Recap City. Let's see. We return to Marin's Hold, at which point Reeve Tarly Winters orders the burning of the body of the unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And we all decide, after some conversation, that like we just don't feel safe there anymore. And we got to get out of town. However, it is late afternoon and we've just been on a rather harrowing adventure. So it was like, why don't we rest up for the night and then we'll leave the next day. During that night of rest, three of you guys did some downtime activities to expand your minds.
From Curse Scroll 6.
From Curse Scroll 6.
Fun.
And also your renown.
Yes.
And and so Saint increased his renown by one by doing some, was it skullduggery?
It was skullduggery, but it was spreading rumors. I wasn't
spreading
thieving.
Rumors, yeah. Right?
Churning the rumor mill.
Churning the rumor mill.
Pharaoh got a critical success and was able to re-roll on the talent table and re-rolled into a +2 to wisdom.
Yeah. What game has skullduggery as a like ability? It's one we've
skullduggery
played.
Is in
Blades.
Skullduggery is definitely a big part of the D&D city. What's the big D&D city?
Waterdeep
board game. Skullduggery is
there's a game we've played where skullduggery is like a stat or something.
Huh. You are right about that. I'm trying to think of what that was. I don't remember. But
Yeah, and then
there's a Pelgrane Press puts out a game called Skullduggery. So, but anyways,
we haven't played that.
I play it though.
Keep telling me your stupid story, Joe.
My stupid
story.
Oh,
you know what it is? It's I think it's Star Wars. It's the Star Wars RPG.
That's what it is. Yes.
Oh. Nice, good catch.
Nice.
Cabot of Keezy. So Matthew Cabot of Casa playing Ellison Ricks. Ellison Ricks did. What did you do?
I studied.
What was the narrative that you did?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called, but I went to go see Denzel Washington.
That's right. And you went through his like bag of tricks and you found a box of tricks and you found a orc potion recipe formulae.
For forgetfulness.
So that's very interesting. And then I went ahead and bought a longbow and some arrows. And during that conversation was enlightened about the Willow Man. The Willow Man, who apparently is a creature that haunts the gloaming near Marin's Hold. And now we realize in retrospect that we've seen the Willow Man. The Willow Man appeared to us as Nelvin, as a ghost of Nelvin, and tried to scare us into not going after the children and just getting out of the gloaming. There was no purpose to anything we're doing. We can never fight these forces. And I told the shopkeeper that, and he basically said, well, that means you are marked. And so we were like, all right, well, let's get the hell out of here. And as we went to rest, Ellison, during his watch, saw people being dragged out of their homes in the middle of the night, their house being searched. A book was found, and Reeve Winters ordered the burning execution on the spot of the homeowner of which this magical book was in, and that's where we ended. It was very, very frightening.
Nasty business.
And we are so ready to get out of here.
We need to go. Because we're going to go to the castle.
We're going to go to the castle.
As soon as dawn breaks.
It's the Castle Meyer Castle.
I believe it is.
A castle that evidently used to belong to a holy order of knights, but has been long abandoned, and no one really knows what happened to those knights. And so you're going there seeking maybe knowledge. I think it was the seeker who said, well, a place that's been around that long may have some knowledge as to what's going on in the gloaming, the history of the gloaming. And at the same time, you know, you're looking for a way to increase your ability, a way to increase your supplies, cash to get out of here, to go home, or to just better your situation.
Or also, you know, and look, from a meta standpoint, we assume that it's going to be horrible shit in there. But like, if we can defeat it, we could have a base of operations that isn't this horrible place.
Yeah,
that we have to keep coming back to. So that's another strongly motivating factor.
We can launch our mission to foment insurrection, overthrow the Reeve, and bring peace and harmony to the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
I got four guys who might hate me a little less with my one renown. So maybe they could join us.
Curious. Well, we pick up on just a charred body sizzling on the ground, smoke rising above it, and then a book being thrown into the fire.
I wanted the book.
I know you did. That's why I'm burning it.
Can we see the title in this opening scene?
Hop on Pop?
Noted dark wizardry. Yeah,
what is
Tome,
this?
Hop on Pop.
Leave that father alone. And maybe we just look into Reeve Tarly Winter's eyes, see the flames lighting in his pupils, and we're taken back to the Skrell attack on Marin's Hold. Pandemonium, as we just see these, like, you don't even see what they look like. It's typical horror movie stuff, right? These like flying, horrible, stringy winged creatures. There's fires everywhere. People are being torn apart. And we see Winters, and you can tell he's looking for someone. And he's got a sword in his hand. He's all armored up and he's looking, he's yelling a name. And then he sees and he looks over as a Skrell demon just like reaches into a woman's chest and pulls out one of her organs. It's just like this huge hole where that was, and just bursts out blood. And he runs and just like sticks his sword into this demon's back. The demon lets out a cry and topples over. And he gets down in front of the woman and he's like, no. And he's trying to like hold her wound with his hand and blood is squirting out of the fingers. He's like, no, help. He's just holding her, help. And a man in long robes sees Reeve Winters over this woman and he comes over and he like reaches his hands towards the sky, perhaps to reach out for his God, and his hands begin to glow and he places them over the woman's wound, and the woman, like, you see like her eyes start to open for a minute, and he's just like, he's using all of his strength to get like energy, healing energy back into the woman, and Reeve Winters is just watching, and the guy's like, ah! And she opens her eyes for a moment and looks at him and then fades out, and the man just like collapses, and he looks at Winters and shakes his head, and Reeve Tarly just stands up and decapitates the man.
Oh, wow.
And he looks down at his wife, picks her up, and just walks back towards the hold. Now we come back to this moment as he is just staring at this book, at this man, but he's elsewhere. He looks up in the faces of all the people watching this, including you, Ellison. Let this be a warning! If you house magic, you are next! And he orders the men to go to other houses.
Part of me just wants to magic missile him right now. His face. Or send him to therapy. Magic therapy.
Magic therapy. Yeah. Magic therapy.
Forgetfulness.
Magic therapy. Forgetfulness.
Hey, drink this.
Forget your wife.
I mean, I literally, that's actually an interesting idea. Because the spell, I can just remove one memory. That's
oh, wow.
You remind
it. What cursed scroll is it in? Because it's not in the book.
It's in the Corvo book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Poop in my eye. I didn't see it.
Poop in my eye.
I wonder how.
Potion of forgetfulness.
Oh, potion of forgetfulness. I was looking for the spell forgetfulness.
A pink draft that swirls with the counterclockwise current. Benefit. If you serve this potion to an intelligent being and that being drinks it, the imbiber permanently forgets one memory of your choosing.
Of your
choosing. What a cool, like, role-playing potion.
I know.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah.
Sit on that one for a while.
Yeah.
I wonder how easy it is.
I'll always remember this, Dad.
To make.
I won't, son. I won't.
Oh, my God. That is a very cool potion. Okay.
Yeah, if only I could get this guy who hates all magic to drink a potion that swirls counterclockwise.
Yeah.
All of his troubles would be over.
Pour it in a chalice. A fancy goblet. He's a fancy man.
And then that will be a reason he'd be like, ah, it's probably not a potion.
Look how expensive this cup is. It's a shame to waste it by not drinking what's in it.
We'd have to get him wasted, probably, and like, yeah. Parlay with him.
Yeah.
It seems like a cool guy to get.
I mean, it's the same kind of techniques as a poisoning. We just have to slip it into another drink or.
Yeah.
You know, how does it? I wonder how it works. You get to choose the thing they forget.
Yeah, a memory of your choosing.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
That is really. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
I hope so. It costs 20 gold pieces
to make.
That's what the downtime cost me.
Wow. Oh.
Okay. Oh, to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have to actually do to brew one? You know.
That's a good question. Like, I know that are the ingredients common ingredients that I could reasonably brew to get
locally sourced?
Yeah, I think so. Especially with your background, I think that maybe you don't have the potion on hand right now, but you have the recipe in order to make it. You know, like,
herbalist.
If I just get a lapis lazuli from the forest, then I will have everything I need. Stone.
Yeah, aren't you an herbalist?
I am an herbalist.
Yeah, I think that
from the forest, a precious stone from the forest.
And to me, that sounds
like a quarry of some sort.
I think Ellison will consider waking the others up and then decides, you know, actually, if they're sleeping through this, let's let them sleep.
Okay.
But I'll keep it. I'm obviously going to watch out the window
to
see what
happens. I'd like to roll to wake up.
Okay.
I want to see when he shouts, you know, like, everybody know this, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I just want to see if he wakes up. So, I'm just going to do like a wisdom roll.
All right. I'm going to make it 15.
Okay. Tough roll. Oh, I got it.
So 17.
You wake up, and Allison puts you directly back to sleep.
Go back. I cast sleep.
Yeah, he opens his eyes as Reeve is yelling. Snaps up. What's going on?
Allison goes. And I'll kind of gesture to look out the window.
Then I'll go out and start to look. Like, what do we do? Do we get them up? Do we leave now?
No. It attracts suspicion if we leave now. We leave in the morning like we planned.
First thing. And, I'll go back down.
Here, let me.
I'm never going to be able to sleep now.
You weren't fully laying down and you smash your head and take 6
points.
Oh, no. Allison's like,
oh. You got the floor. So.
6 points of damage.
It's 2d6. You hit your head on a bedpost.
A knife bedpost?
It's a very pointy
bedpost made of knives.
Head injury. And then you wake up.
Then you wake back up. No, I'll never sleep. Let's try this again.
Did everybody take a ration?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta do that. Thank you for the reminder.
And I'm not...
A meal doesn't come with the room?
No, she said that. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You have to pay for it, but it's gonna...
in advance, but somebody else gets to eat it. I mean, Troy's NPCs are so aggravating.
So aggravating.
Just...
I'm just gonna leave my rations at full, assuming that we'll grab another ration before
on our way out tomorrow. Yeah, same. Because, yeah.
All right, so you have 3 rations?
I have 6.
I only have three.
I have 3.
You have 3? And Pharaoh?
I had 6. I had 5. And then, but yeah, my plan was to just fill up to 6 before.
Okay. I only have 3. Obviously, I could take another 3, but I am at capacity, which is saying a lot because I got a lot of storage space. So, like, I've got 3 torches. But, I mean, we need to bring as many torches as possible.
If we're crawling.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want to get rid of any of my other stuff.
Yeah.
Steel, grappling hook, iron spikes, rope. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what we're going to run into.
Yeah.
I mean, the plan is not to feed 6 other NPCs this time around. So
true.
Yeah. But what about the Seeker?
He can carry his own rations. He can
carry his own rations.
So he is coming.
He can borrow my slugger.
I think Saint, his argument when Pharaoh was talking about it was that we should bring him, and I've already paid for him.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, he's useless to us not having him. He's at least a little useful to us having him.
So, Troy, can we move to dawn?
Yes.
Breaking? All right.
Let me just make sure. Yeah, you're good.
So we'll get up early, and...
I'll go to Seeker.
Can you pick up the Seeker, and we'll meet us on the way out of town?
Just a minute.
He's already awake.
Why did you knock? Now it has to be a whole role play. Oh, now we got to see inside of his house again.
Oh. Hello.
We're leaving. Meet by the gate.
Well, hold on.
And Saint walks away.
How long are we going to be gone for?
He turns back.
He's running.
He turns back.
He's plucking his ears and running away.
How many? I need to know how much to pack.
Saint smiling calls over his shoulders, bring your own rations.
I haven't been shopping.
Saint just is like waving him on as he walks further.
It's fine. I'll see you at the gate.
Dodging through the crowd as he runs away.
Just so I love that image of Saint sprinting away.
I will not be in the scene with you.
You can't make me talk.
You can't make me talk.
I have some funny stuff to say.
He'll have plenty of time for funny stuff on the way.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, there's this smell in the air, even the day after, of burnt flesh.
Not to hair. Prolong this. Is the unicorn already disposed of? Is it burnt? Did they do that? Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to get some blood, but...
Just want some unicorn blood to smear on your face?
R.I.P.
It's good for your complexion.
I don't know what it does. I just thought it could be useful.
Gwyneth Paltrow puts out a unicorn blood mask.
Goop.
Yep.
Saint could be the goop of the gloaming.
Saint Goop. That's got a nice ring to it.
The goop of the gloaming.
They call me the goop of the gloaming. Have you heard of me? No. Okay. So he'll just go.
Okay. Sorry. No unicorn blood for you.
Next time.
Sure, there's plenty of them up.
Yeah.
All right. So you meet by the gate?
Yep. Yeah.
We were planning to leave. We're not going to change our plan. Hopefully, we don't run into any trouble.
All right. You come up to the gate, and the seeker comes rolling up shortly there afterwards. He's got like a little stick with stuff wrapped in it, clothing.
A bindle.
And he's like, I'm ready. And
did you pack rations?
Good morning, seeker.
I have 6 rations, yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I still have some friends in town that owe me favors. Where are we going?
We're going east. We'll talk when we get outside of town.
Right.
Not sure if you heard that last night, but they killed another person.
I was awoke by that, and it was a grisly scene.
You saw it?
I did. Everyone in town, I looked out of the window, and everyone was watching this. I think that was intentional on Reeve Winter's part. And if it was, we may face some trouble just waltzing out of here. So I would say someone should be the one that's talking. I don't think it should be me. Charming the way.
Farrah, can you talk us out of here, please?
Yes, of course. I can speak to any that stop us, my friends.
Farrah's been very weird since yesterday.
He's been waving his fingers like that, as if he's trying to influence our thinking.
Yes. No, it is fine. Don't give it a thought.
Couple guards come up and says, excuse me, where are you going? We're not really letting people in and out at this time. A lot of dangers.
My friends and I, we have to take our leave of this fine town just for a little while.
Do you have some sort of rite of passage?
You don't need to see our rite of passage.
Looks at the other guy like... and the other guy's like, sir, Reeve Winters made it pretty clear. You need to have some sort of documentation to get out of
here. You don't need to see our documentation.
Right, give me a...
What is he doing?
Charisma roll.
Six.
That's about right. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're doing, man, but we're under strict orders. Things are changed right now. We can't just let people come in and out.
We are on a cartographic mission of exploration. We're mapping the area to assess any threats that
Verdenzar, Washington.
Verdenzar, Washington, in service of the town.
The owner of maps and stuff.
Exactly. Yes.
He's hired you for this.
Yes. Yes.
He looks at the other guy and says, we're still going to need some kind of permission.
You don't need any permission.
Why does he keep doing that?
He's achieved spiritual enlightenment.
But he's right.
You might remember us. We were the ones that the Reeve sent out on an excursion to rescue those who were taken in the Orc raid.
So we do get sent out on missions quite often. This is just another one of them.
I don't know, and the guy is looking at the other guy.
Reeve has sent us out on missions personally before. Do you really want to get on his bad side?
No. And the seeker speaks up. Are you, by any chance, followers of Geed? And the guys look to each other and say, my mother was big into Geed. I never really...
Remember that time he said he kind of didn't want to role play with himself?
I went to Geed services and stuff, but I never...
I was going to say, I went to Geed High School. I went
to Geed College.
Geed Sunday School.
No, I would go to, like, the service and stuff, but I was a kid. I never quite understood it. And he says, I can tell. Where's your mother now? And he's like, she's gone. He says, oh, no, she's not. No, she is right here, right now, watching over you. And these men with me are followers of Geed, just like your mother. And she is telling me to tell you to let us go. We'll be back in no time after this simple mission for this map maker. We need food. We need money. Could you please let us pass? And the guy's like, if it's for my mom, Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, but just don't make a big deal out of it.
And he just, like, opens the gate.
My God, the seeker is so incredible. He's so good.
So mad.
Everything.
Look at Skid's face.
He does.
It is all right. Well, all of us have our parts to play.
Wow. He has got two more points of wisdom.
He's so wise.
He's so wise.
Biding his time until he can murder him in his sleep.
And the Seeker says, after you. That's all of you.
Thank you, Seeker.
Thank you.
Well done.
Rowan.
And we'll walk out of town.
Oh, shit. Let's go. Back. To the map.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh, here we go.
I've been missing this feeling
of abject terror.
Yeah.
All right, well, the good news is that castle that you saw in the distance is two hexes away. It is daytime.
Be there tonight.
You know, it's dawn. Yeah. You'll be there. It's always said the best time to search an abandoned castle is night.
That's right.
So do you want to go southeast or northeast?
Southeast.
Along the river's edge.
Yeah.
Along.
Oh, we could have taken our boat.
Oh, yeah. You could take a boat and park it there. It doesn't, it's not quite in the same hex, so I think it's going to be.
It would have been off the water, so.
All right. So let's move down there.
Nothing of interest.
And uneventful. However, as the day wears on, you look back and you no longer see the palisade of Marin's Hold. In fact, you do see in the distance through the trees now, because before you were looking at it in the more clear northeast portion, looking down, you could see a better view of the castle, but you can see through the tree line this like gray castle looming in the distance.
Dad, this is like, what, ep 2? We saw this thing?
Yeah, you left in ep 2.
I'm now looking at
23.
23.
I'm now looking at the art for Marin's Hold. And what I thought was some sort of keep or watchtower, perhaps, I now know to be the inn.
It's the single tallest structure.
Yep.
As tall as the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you zoom in, it's really fucking cool. And I love this, like, darkest dungeon tile of heroes here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you continue on to Meyer Castle.
Oh, come on with this. I'm right. So excited.
So nothing revealed in the surrounding hexes, as far as I can tell. No additional structures to the east.
Appears so, yeah.
Or south, nothing else.
Or south.
Yeah, okay. The route that you took, at least, did not reveal anything else as you make your way towards the ruins of a once great castle. It's a soaring stronghold built on a hill, and I may have said this before, but there's like all these stained glass windows and the wind is coming through the broken glass and it's sort of whistling as there. The wind's finding its way through those little sharp holes and crumbling battlements everywhere. No signs of life as it looks long abandoned. And we'll be back right after this break.
That's about right. That's about right.
We're there.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwiner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. The episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The Best Worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, please, not that music. That music gives me nightmares from my childhood.
Could we get something a little bit lighter? Some lighter music here.
Are you a fan of true crime TV shows?
And what about Unsolved Mysteries, the show that jumpstarted all of our love of true crime?
I'm Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Joey Taranto.
And we host I Think Not, a true crime comedy podcast covering some of the wildest stories from your favorite true crime campy TV shows all the way to Unsolved Mysteries.
Baby, you will laugh, you will cry, you'll think about true crime in a whole new way, and you'll also ask yourself, who gave these people mics?
New episodes of I Think Not are released every Wednesday, with bonus episodes out every Thursday on Patreon.
And every Monday, you can listen to our True Crime Run down, where we go over the top true crime headlines of the week.
So come and join us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We're back. You approach these ruins, and you know, it doesn't seem so bad until you get up close, and it's just like huge, some great Holy Order of Knights once lived here, but they are gone. Why? What happened? Perhaps the answers lie within. It has one of those entrances. It's not a drawbridge. It's like an Elden Ring type castle, in that there's like stairs leading up to a smaller like courtyard, and then stairs leading up and whatnot. So there's no great grand entrance. There's just this staircase that leads up and in. There are doors.
Question. How like dilapidated is it? Is it like abandoned, or is it like crumbling? Like there was like an
parts
attack
of it are crumbling, but it doesn't look like it's from attack. It looks like from non-use over the years, weathered.
But there are still
doors.
It's
not a ruin.
No, it's
per se
not a complete ruin. No, it's
there are
in
doors
ruin.
And windows.
Yeah, there are doors and windows. The windows that are higher up,
ceilings,
are broken.
From what we can see from
yeah,
the
yeah, it looks like there's at least two levels.
Okay,
I would like to check for traps as we go, and the kinds of things I'm searching for are like what a bandit or another group might set up to keep other humans out. Not like arcane or anything crazy, but I'm looking for tripwire, like, you know, simple traps.
Okay.
Big boulder that rushes down the stairs.
So as you're approaching, because this is going to be sort of an ongoing thing, you're going to be looking for traps. Okay.
As we get close, Pharaoh says, "This was once a great stronghold of men. Warriors, and it could be again, but now I fear it has fallen to evil. Should venture forth."
They all just kind of look at Pharaoh.
Great.
What happened last night?
He read something.
he read something.
There's a book on his chest that he fell asleep reading.
Okay, yes, can we... With Sane checking for traps, can we make our way forward?
Sure.
Well, do we want to camp outside?
No, I think we should go in.
Okay.
It's very dark. Gonna need some...
A torch?
Light.
Wait, we gotta move it then, right?
Nope.
It's on the initiative.
Okay.
Shagagagoo.
Who is going to
light it up?
I'll just cast light. I'll try to cast the spell.
Yeah.
There we go.
Great. You can start with that.
Yep.
And I actually have a +4 to this roll now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm going to use a bottle cap.
Oh no!
What was that, Skid?
Natural one.
Oh no!
That's even worse.
Okay, that is a success.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, as it's been so long. Didn't you mishap a spell that you needed to atone for?
I did.
Yeah, it's just something. I can't remember what that spell was.
I think was it protection? I think it was protection from
evil. It was protection from evil.
Yeah. Okay, just reminding you about that.
So you can't cast it until you atone for it?
Yeah. Perhaps in his new state of enlightenment, he'll be able to figure out how to atone.
Yeah.
All right, torch is running.
Okay, now...
Where the light is.
There's a lot of different ways that we're going to do crawling in our Glass Cannon podcast, Shadow Dark campaign. There are maps that I'm commissioning. There are Theater of the Mind, which is what we've done so far. And I kind of want to lean into the way that I think everybody else plays, by just finding maps online and repurposing them. And so that's what I did for this case. So shout out to elventower.com/map-showcase for providing this map here. Ooh. Please direct your attention to Foundry DTT.
Oh, boy.
It's map o'clock.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at our tokens.
My gosh.
Is that Killian Murphy in a priest collar?
Are you making Killian Murphy?
The Seeker.
Are you kidding me? That's my favorite Seeker. Actor? And I've been talking to Killian Murphy this whole time, and I didn't
whole
know.
Time.
I'm gonna start changing my tune.
I know he weirds Joe out too.
He hates. He's horrible.
Joe hates him. I love him.
I'm just psyched you got the rights to his likeness. That's awesome.
I called ahead.
called ahead. That's what we call it.
Like after that Oscar like win, he was at a restaurant. Like, you know what I need to do is get my face on a TTRPG.
Get the TTRPGs. Good man, Killian.
Killian Murphy. All right, so you walk up these little stairs and you enter. You did not see any traps. Good news. You enter it looks like a once comfortable sitting area, perhaps that was used to receive guests that would come to the castle. There is a ruined grand piano on the far side of the room and other broken musical instruments along with a hearth, long grown cold. You immediately notice that things look picked over in here, like scavengers have at one time or another been through and, taken anything of value. What do you do?
I think Saint would like to look around this room, not only still looking for traps, but also sort of eyeing up the situation of like, how long ago was this picked over? Could this be fresh? Was the hearth recently used? You know, could there be people in here? So keeping quiet still, and sort of just moving around and looking for like fresh footprints in dust, long laid dust or anything like that.
Okay. So you start walking into the room a little bit to look at this stuff. All right. So
get to about there.
Okay. As you walk into the room, all of you distinctly hear a single note played on the piano.
Saint stops.
Pull up my sword.
Saint will reach and take out his, not his dagger, but his bow.
Looking over behind the piano. Bends down.
Look at the edge.
Something's hiding under the piano. Shine the light in that direction.
Shine the light in that direction. By the edge of the piano, you see a rock. Little rock about yay big. Sitting on one of the keys.
Like it fell?
Yeah, it must have just fallen from the ceiling and made that noise.
We look up. Is there someone in the rafters, perhaps?
God, there's a huge beast clung to the ceiling.
Ah, it's the Phantom!
I think Saint will very cautiously move towards the piano, you know, like with his bow, and come around the side and see if anybody's there.
Nobody.
And this rock that's on a key?
It's just like a tiny little rock. It must have fallen from the ceiling, landed on that key, and that's how you heard that sound.
Pick up the rock. Just a rock.
Just a rock. Chunk of ceiling.
And he kind of waves everybody like, so coast is clear.
Okay. Mark will start walking up, and he's obviously scoping all, whatever he can. Pharaoh, shine it over here to the east.
I look around this area just with the instruments and stuff. Does it seem like this is fresh at all, that someone else was recently in here?
You see several sets of tracks. Some look older than others just by the layers of dust that are on them, but you can tell that a group has been in here probably sometime in the last month. Had to have been a group of maybe 4, 5, 6 people by the number of tracks. There are other tracks that have been, so they're obviously, the dust isn't as thick there, but looks like the freshest ones could have been a group of anywhere from 4 to 6 people.
He lets everybody know.
All heading towards the door in the north side of the room.
We assume this might be the case.
Yeah, but how recent is it?
It's hard to say. I say we lay low and keep quiet as we move through. Any signs of recent activity, campfires, anything that looks out of place, call it out. Might have a better idea of where they are if they're still here.
Warwick nods as he's like, is this a fireplace in the corner?
Yeah.
He's going to look down and examine the fireplace, look inside of it.
It is a false back.
Check it. No false back, but there does seem to be something like lodged in there.
It's a unicorn horn.
He's gonna sheathe his sword.
Burn them for fuel.
Kneel down.
Burn an eternal flame. Burn a unicorn horn.
And reach for the obstruction.
You reach for the obstruction. It's large. And it's kind of like wedged in there, but you pull it out and it's a scuffed heavy steel shield.
Oh.
In the fire?
Which is worth one XP.
Oh, nice.
Whoa.
He slides it out. It's all covered in scars and ash. He's like,
why?
Oh, the knight of, or the shield of a holy knight.
Does it have an insignia on there?
So, like, there's so many blade marks on the front of it. If it looks like there used to be some sort of crest there, but it has been like, clearly this shield has seen a lot of battles, or one horrible one.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm really debating how often to cast Detect Magic. It's like, if I fail, save it,
I think. I mean,
do it now.
You want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Or you just...
We're the angel and the devil.
No, I mean, the piano could be magic.
That's what I was
Anything
thinking.
Anything in here could be magic.
The shield could be magical.
Like, shield could be
what
magic.
What are we doing?
But if you lose it, it's gone forever.
I don't know. Is you making the case that I should do it or shouldn't
yes.
do it? But if I lose the spell, okay.
I mean, you could say that every time you cast a spell.
That's true. Right.
Okay, well, I'll try to cast it.
You got 150 bottle caps. You'll be fine.
I've got two. Okay, I will detect magic. Natural 16.
Nice.
Boom.
Okay. You do not detect any magic. But then you hear...
Dun, 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 dun.
And you turn to the piano, and the seeker is sitting there.
Guid, will you come to me? Guid, you're my everything.
Hey, what did I say?
What?
I said keep a low profile. Why are you playing the piano?
I know how to play. I don't get to often do it.
Congratulations. Beautiful. Stop.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you weren't Killian Murphy, why I ought to...
He looks at you with this.
Damn it.
Sharp blue
it's
eyes.
Too attractive.
I sit down next to him at the piano bench.
Oh.
Say.
Do you play?
I wish that I could, but no. That skill has always eluded me, as it clearly hasn't for you.
Guid has given me many gifts. This is but one...
Indeed.
Parlor trick.
Guid gives as she will to those who need, I found.
He sure does.
You and I have had our differences, even concerning the very gender of the god we both worship.
Beyond that, I haven't seen any differences per se.
But I wish to say that I recognize the value that you bring, and I see how Guid has blessed you in ways that she has not seen fit to bless me, and I, for one, am glad that you are with us. You and I are now friends.
Thank you, Brother Pharaoh. I am glad to hear that you've opened your heart to what I can offer. That's really all I'm here for.
Always, as should we all. Whenever Guid shines our light, he holds up his hand upon us. And now I can cast Protection from Evil again.
Wow. Look at that. Amazing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Door to the north.
So I'm going
to... Door to the north.
I just want to say that the other shield that I was using was one that we had pulled off of the orcs, I believe. Where I had initially gotten it.
Mm.
And he's going to...
Was it a heavy shield?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they really have heavy or light shields from what I can tell.
Okay.
But anyway, he's going to just take that shield and he's gonna pull it off and just sort of like set it down, kind of like lean it against the piano. and equip this scuffed heavy shield. Just because he's like, I don't know what we might run into in here that would be, you know, that would like, where the shield of the former knights here might be beneficial to have on you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to carry two heavy shields, so he's going to use that one. If it feels like it's mechanically the same.
You know. Okay. So you've got the shield. You're all standing at the door. Who? Hey, you know what? Let's roll for initiative. Let's get into
exactly.
Exactly.
It's like, who opens the door? Why don't we just get into fucking a niche?
Let's get into a
shit changes. We'll get into a niche again.
Roll initiative. If a combat breaks out,
I think so. I think that.
Okay, then let's move this. Oh yeah, no. Then we don't move until we roll.
Right now, this is just a crawling initiative. What everybody get?
Filthy Twun Zone.
Ooh, Twun Zone.
Nine.
Not even close.
5.
5. All right.
Perfect.
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 Feeling that door frame traps. Touching the knob. Touching the knob. Big knob, small knob, handle. What are we rocking?
It's got like a
knocker.
Not a knocker, but it's like a steel ring.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were revving a motorcycle.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
I open the door. Beep beep. I open it slowly.
Okay. You open the door slowly. Kunk. You see, looks like there are two statues flanking the doorway on either side.
Good luck.
He peeks in and he calls Warwick over.
And he's just finishing getting the shield situated. Stretches it out, feels the weight of it. What? What do you see?
Doesn't seem trapped, but either side. See those statues?
Yeah. I do. All right. Troy, just from you said you basically looked for traps.
I looked for traps.
For the two statues. Okay. And I'll say, I'll go left, you go right.
All right.
And he's going to, like, step quickly into the room and put his shield up in front of him, like, between him and the statues.
Come right in.
Are we just ignoring initiative, then?
Sorry.
All right, so do you go in? Or you wait for him to go in?
I was going to wait for him to go in, yeah, because he's got the shield.
I'll wait for Warwick to go in.
Okay. So you guys
can. I just wanted to. I just wanted to
we rolled for initiative.
We rolled for initiative.
He's right. You're right.
You're
right.
Honor the
roll. That's right.
All right.
He's right.
We go in.
All right. You guys slide in, but neither of you have light, so it's just the light spilling in from Pharaoh.
Pharaoh.
You see these two statues on either side of the door. One appears to be like some sort of stylized, angelic-looking knight. And the other one is like, it's been defaced. Like, chunks of it have been taken out. Its face has been smashed in. It's definitely been like pretty purposefully destroyed.
Desecrated,
yeah. All of the pillars in the room, because the room stretches to the north, each bear a coat of arms. And you can see in the light, it looks like a dark forest with a pair of crossed swords in front of it.
All right.
Pharaoh
is going to step into the room deeper.
Need, won't you come to me? Seeker comes in. Saint, you are now in the room. You are next to the more stylized knight, whereas Warwick is next to the defaced statue.
Yeah. Do they look identical, but one was defaced, or do they look like they were two different, like, entities?
Give me a wisdom check.
Not the smartest guy in the room. Do my best, though. 8.
No, you can't wrap your head. They do look different.
Yeah, I think I would point it out, and I'd be like, why is one ruined, but this one's fine. And as he's saying it, though, he'll he'll kind of step around Pharaoh and the seeker onto the other side of the statue to get out of the doorway. So he kind of is like walking around it, looking at it, and he says to Pharaoh, "Are they gods or what are they?" He'll step aside.
Allison.
I'm going to step into the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kind of step up, you know, a little bit, not all the way into the center, near Pharaoh, so I can get a kind of central reaction. I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay.
And I'll be spending a bottle cap.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man, it's happening. They're burning.
Change dice.
Man, these crawls are going to get dangerous.
Okay, 15.
15. All right, so you're standing there detecting magic and feeling around, and the seeker keeps like singing under his breath, "Kid, won't you come to me?" And you feel the room get like warmer for a moment, and your detection of magic heightens just for a moment, that there's something happening. And you look over at the seeker, and he's singing, but he feels it too, and then it goes away, and the magic goes away.
So if I can concentrate, I can discern the source's general properties.
Okay. It's something...
So that would technically be come around, and they would have to come around to me for another round.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know.
Then I'll leave it at that. Warwick.
I'll say something just happened.
Yeah. I felt that.
You felt it too.
Warm.
Maybe I sense something. A presence I've not felt since.
First, I'm going to look at the statue that I'm next to for any identifying marks. Like, is a name carved into it, or is there a plate on it, or anything that describes a specific person, or anything like that?
No plate. But you can give me a wisdom check to see if you notice anything in particular about the statue.
Okay.
Wisdom. I say checks, rolls, checks.
10.
You know, with a 10, I think you at least notice that it appears it was a woman, a statue of a woman, whereas the other one is a man.
Okay.
This looks like a statue of a woman, but it's so badly desecrated, it's hard to tell anymore.
Okay. Then he'll start moving into the room, walking past Pharaoh and Allison. Deeper in, looking both ways.
Okay, Pharaoh.
Pharaoh hears Saint's request to take a look at the statues, and so I'm going to do a wisdom check.
Okay.
Oh, 20.
Okay, as badly broken as this statue is, you feel pretty confident that it is meant to be an image of Saint Taragnus.
Oh, dear.
This is the one that has been defaced, or no?
The one that has been defaced, yes.
Oh, dear.
Give us a refresh.
A refresh.
Saint Taragnus is
this like... This is like the
holy...
The Cuthbert. It's like the Saint Cuthbert, the lawful
oh,
god.
Oh,
lawful good god. So, like, it would make sense that this order would be followers of Saint Taragnus.
Is that yours? No.
I'm the lost.
He follows the lost, right?
Oh, the lost.
My computer auto-corrected Taragnus to... Tarragons with an apostrophe S.
Oh.
How often are you writing a possessive tarragon?
I don't know.
Tarragons.
I don't know. Things could belong to a spice.
Straight out of the core rule book, Saint Taragnus, lawful, a legendary knight who is the patron of most lawful humans. She ascended to godhood long ago and is the embodiment of righteousness and justice.
Oh boy. Oh. This place is evil.
Well, it's now evil because it's been defaced. Yes.
Well, if... She's that, then what's this?
This order was once dedicated, I feel, to Saint Taragnus.
And what about the other one?
The other one, I'll roll over that 17. You don't know what it doesn't look like a significant person.
It was with the founder of the order or something.
And this
does look to be of newer quality, but the other one is so broken.
Newer, but I don't recognize the figure.
Saint.
I'm going to just move further into the room then. kind of up across from Warwick, looking the other way. My bow is out.
Bow is out.
Checking for traps.
Actually, after I do that, I'm going to move deeper into chaos.
Deeper in to shed more light. This room is long, and you just shed light on all of these, all of the heraldry on the pillars, saying you move past them as well. You don't see any traps. You don't see or sense any danger.
I'll continue concentrating on detect magic.
Okay, that warmth, it's gone away.
Was I able to discern any properties of what it was or what it...
Give me a D6 roll.
D6?
Mm-hmm.
I can do that with this die. 3.
No, maybe it was tied to the Seeker singing.
Mm. I'll say the Seeker. Were you
singing about Geed?
Were you invoking Geed's...
It was a hymn I was taught. It's the song I was playing in there. Geed is with us in here. Warmth is good, right?
Not always. We should look around the room for any kind of secret doors or compartments. But I can't because my turn is over.
But somebody should.
I understand.
And stand there in stillness.
And you freeze like
you
this.
You could do it.
Allison? Allison?
Not my turn.
Not my turn. I cannot.
You have to wait.
This
would
be the stage version of this.
Yeah.
We all say our lines in 6-second increments.
All right. What about you, Picklepuss?
I will start moving up, and I'm going to check for traps. I'm just looking along the floor and the pillars for traps as I continue to move deeper in. But I'm getting to the edge of the light now, so I'm just going
to
stop.
Getting to the edge of the light. You don't see anything.
Oh. Okay. And also, while I'm doing that, I'd like to look for any tracks, any signs of any of these footsteps that we saw in the other room.
Yep, you do see more of those fresher, again, older, maybe a couple months old tracks that head deeper in. You don't see any door. It looks like that this room just extends and then narrows into a hallway that might turn about 60 feet ahead.
Yeah. Pharaoh, looks like there's a hallway up here. Come on up.
And I do. Down being my turn. I move up next alongside Warwick. And I move up to him and over to the other side, the other row of pillars, kind of getting a broader sweep of the scope of the room.
Does anybody else want to light a torch? Because right now you're sort of limited by what Pharaoh can...
You know what? I will light a torch. You know, should it be me? I was thinking about it. I don't need to have anything in my hand.
Yeah, you hesitate because I have a shield.
I hesitate because I have my bow and arrow.
I could do it.
Yes. Yes. Come, stand next to me.
I don't have one in my bindle, but...
You can use this one. And I'll hand him one of my torches and ask him to light it and stay close to me.
Okay. We should start a second timer. We need a second hourglass.
Now we need a second hourglass. Fuck. Let's just cancel the whole show.
Put it on your sheet. Just put it on your sheet. Click the button for the torch.
Me?
No, him.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, because we pause it. So
That's true.
Yeah, it doesn't keep it right. It would be better for Skid to do that. Yeah. We can write it down. Definitely remember.
Yeah, can we? Let's all, everyone in the room.
Everyone remember.
Everyone. When the episode ends, let's note
hey,
the
everyone.
Time.
Hey,
whoa, it's too bright in the room.
Okay. And now you have overlapping.
Great, that's perfect.
Oh, it's so bright.
It's like a yellowish fire.
Yeah, we have like night vision.
Yeah, I made him a little different. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
All right.
All right, so then Saint will move
Boundary
up.
VTT.
In the middle, kind
I've
of.
I've never held one of these before.
Between.
You've never held a torch before?
No. Look at that. It just burns.
Don't get it too close to your face.
It just burns.
Don't.
It smells warm.
Yeah. Don't smell it.
Smells.
Oh. Smelling the fire.
All right.
He's smelling the fire.
This is my turn yet.
Now it's your turn. I moved. I walked.
My whiskers.
Okay. I'm checking for traps.
Ellison is going to inspect the room for secret doors, compartments, anything secret.
No, nothing that you see.
And then he'll end being close to work.
Okay. Well, look at us in an abandoned holy place.
Warwick?
I'm going to, move up to the edge of the light. Seeker, this way.
Ah, yes.
To the north.
Okay, be with you.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting into that tighter hallway. Awesome. What do I see on the walls there? Is that just like,
More instances of this, they're like, these are framed, whereas there are shields on the pillars. These are frames with that same image of a dark forest with two crossed swords.
Hmm, interesting. Defenders of the forest, maybe. Defenders of the gloaming. Fort was the gloaming. Maybe.
All right. And Pharaoh is going to move past them a little bit further.
Oh, there he goes.
And I see it looks like it opens up into a bigger room.
It turns west, yes.
I'm going to keep moving up to the turn.
I'm with you, son.
And Saint is following as well. Bringing up the rear and checking again this hallway for traps now that we're in this tighter space, looking around, looking at the ceilings.
And Allison will then follow.
Okay.
Yep, Warwick will follow as well and start moving again towards the edge of the light to the west.
You're so limited by who has the light. But,
well, that's why the seeker should just be next to me.
Oh, it turns left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the seeker next to Warwick.
Okay. I'm with you. I'll stay right behind you. You are my shield, just as Gieve's mine.
Stay close. Stay small.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so you push up.
Yeah.
You push up and you see the hallway keeps extending to the west, but there is a door to the north and a door to the south, not too far in. The first door you come to is the door to the north.
He's about to go up and examine that door, but then sees the door to the south.
Should we split up? Is that safe?
No. Oh, let me just look. There's a door to the south here. I'm gonna open it.
Okay. I'm your light. I'm your light, and Geed is mine.
And he'll wait for you guys to come closer before he opens it.
So then, Pharaoh, are you moving up?
Yep. Pharaoh is gonna move up to the northern door.
Saint will move up near Warwick, still checking around, kind of in the middle of the hallway, keeping watch.
Okay.
Allison?
I'll stand behind Saint. I mean, like, it's so funny that this order is like, I can be in the back? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's dicey.
Going southern door?
Southern door, yeah. I'm going to attempt to open up the door.
You open the door. And it is quite a scene.
Ooh.
You look in as...
All I see is white paper.
Yeah. I can't see anything. I can't see anything.
I see a slight sliver of tile.
You look in, and from that light spilling in from the seeker and Pharaoh's holy light as well, you see a number of statues of knights along the walls of the room, all bearing that same crest emblazoned on their armor. And they are all like kneeling in reverence, pointing in the direction of another statue that again has been like completely defaced. This one looks to be even in worse shape than the first one. But that statue is surrounded by... At first, it looks like a bunch of bodies, but the bodies are all sort of haphazardly strewn about the feet of the statue, and they look frozen as well as like statues, but it's just weird. They're all like kind of reaching out and touching it, or one of them is like going up to like grab at the arm, and then another one is like down on the ground, like reaching like this, and they're all around the feet of this statue.
What?
Are they stone?
You walk in.
Yeah.
All right, so the seeker says, is everyone else coming?
You first.
All right. Guide, holy light, be with me. And so they're all kneeling, and over in the back western corner is where all these bodies are, and it looks like they are stone, all reaching out or trying to like take something. And now you see glistening in the light, there is this like huge jewel that is like in the throat of the statue.
Oh.
Just like glowing.
I wonder if, looks back to the seeker. I wonder if it turned them to stone.
What is it? What's going on?
Let me examine them.
Excuse me.
Can I come in and examine them?
There's a jewel in that statue.
Don't touch it yet.
I think it's on Pharaoh. Oh,
yes, yeah. Yes, Pharaoh steps in. Okay. And where's the statue?
Statue is along the western wall. Defaced, altered. You recognize it again as St. Taragnus, but it's been very purposely brutalized. You notice that, like, its stone breasts have been lopped off, like, purposefully to make it look like a man. Mm. And it's also been, like, it looks like the way it was defaced was, like, to shape it to look like a man and not a woman. It was a very purposeful disfigurement. And its skull, or whatever, you know, it's the skull of the statue has been all hollowed out, and just this single red ruby in the throat. Like it must have been a necklace that was had one little ruby in it on the statue, built into the statue.
Okay, yeah, so this was originally built into the statue. It wasn't something that was added by perhaps the people who defaced it.
Right.
This is
these gray-skinned men around it.
Is there anything, like, would I know anything about what the significance of this gem might be in regards to Taragnus's lore?
Roll a wisdom check.
Natural 20!
Oh my god.
This die, what is happening?
Come on!
Oh man. That's rocks for this.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay, so it does not seem to be significant to St. Taragnus herself, but you do think that it was put there as sort of a celebration of Taragnus, to like as an offering, perhaps. And all of these knights, you know, are in reverence to her, you know. It was just put there as there's a word I'm looking for that's escaping me, but it's kind of like a, I guess, offering or tribute. Yeah.
This is made an offering made in reverence for the saint. It might be unwise to pry it free.
And I'm just like shining the light like closer to it. I'm going to approach, actually.
Okay. You see one of the stone people, like, has a sword that was reaching up towards it, but the sword is broken and the other chunk of it is lying on the ground. It's just like,
I'm gonna grab the point of the sword and look at it, and then sort of place it on the broken edge of the sword that it came from.
Yeah, like a puzzle piece. Fits exactly.
I flip it up like that, put it in my pocket.
It goes right through.
Through your pants.
Is the sword, I'm not there in the room yet, but is the sword stone or is the sword a sword?
You come in and
step in.
The sword is a sword being held aloft by a stone hand, but the top of it.
He tried to dislodge the ruby in the
sword. No, I know. I was just wondering if the sword turned to stone, is what I was asking.
Yeah, no, the sword is not a stone.
Saint steps in. And he starts looking around and looking at these people, and he immediately kind of like takes two steps back and is just like, I don't think we should, this is, yeah. and he looks very uncomfortable. And you're very close to like this stone.
Yeah, I'm like peering right into it. I'm like looking into the
I don't think we should touch that.
Oh, I agree. But it is beautiful, is it not?
And he looks over at Ellison, who's in the doorway, and he says, unless you have a better idea, I don't think we should be in here at all.
Ellison's going to come take a look. And I'm going to tell me, will detect magic help me discern how they were magically turned to stone? Or I can do an intelligence check or what?
Yeah, give me a detect magic and see if you succeed, and then maybe that could be followed up by an intelligence roll.
Natural 17.
Okay, give me the intelligence roll.
Intelligence.
Does he detect magic, though?
Yeah, do detect magic coming from that.
Let me concentrate another round so I can discern the general properties, and then, I mean...
Okay.
But wait, first it's my turn.
Yes.
And I'll grab the ruby.
Great. Well, then
we're having a good time.
Hey!
Now we'll know.
Nobody. Do you drag?
I'll delay.
Okay.
As will I.
Okay.
General properties?
All right, so this was once a benign ruby. There's nothing about it that would seem magical to you as you inspect it from a distance, but now it is radiating just powerful, evil, cursed magic.
Oh, it's a cursed ruby.
Wow. Perhaps from the defacing of this righteous deity, something became infused in the magic, but why would someone do this? And maybe these were just crawlers that came in here looking
for... Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
That's what Saint thought.
It's just the footsteps.
So like, it's not a trap as much as the ruby is cursed.
Right. That's the vibe you get.
So the bodies within... So the bodies are stone, but their gear is still... remains the way it was in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like metal armor.
Yeah, a lot of it is just completely fused to them.
Right.
With the exception of this broken blade.
Perhaps we can... I would say we need... This ruby is cursed by a deep, powerful, and evil magic. It's beyond my power to sanctify it again, but perhaps we can find useful equipment in this crawlers around here.
I think we just get out of this room. I don't like it.
Saint kind of nods.
And I'll start to like back up.
I've never seen...
Cursed artifact. I'll stay away, thank you.
Yeah, Saint's like, I've never seen this before, but it's something you hear about. And he looks at like all these stone bodies, and he almost like has this pity look in his eye. Just like, You idiots. You absolute fools. And he takes a step back, too. He says, nothing's worth that.
You bump into the seeker as you do.
Sorry.
Good. Very wise.
Gives him a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Saint just kind of looks at him and shrugs. And
doing great.
He looks around to see if anybody heard that.
We're all just watching this interaction like a tennis match.
And Saint steps back out of the room. Into the hallway.
I want to do one pass on the eastern side of the room just to see what that is over there, or if there's anything of interest on the other side of the room.
Yeah, it's just like a mantle. No fireplace there, just a mantle with some old, completely burnt out candles.
And nothing
stubs of candles.
Nothing in the statue, the petrified people.
No, nope.
A torch or something we could take with us.
No, if you could try to wrestle out some of the gear, but it's all because their bodies are stone. It's like fused around them.
Okay.
All organic material seems to have been turned to stone.
Okay.
Onward.
I guess one more thing. I just always want to do this in an old castle. Try to remember to constantly look for secret doors. So look for secret doors.
Don't say anything.
Okay. And then I'll step out.
Right behind you there, buddy.
And Saint is up by the northern door now, checking it for traps, just like kind of feeling around the wall, waiting idly for everyone.
I wonder what kind of people lived here and why would they abandon it? It seems like a nice enough place, just needs a little fresh coat of paint.
Infiltrated by some evil. Darkness can slip into the holiest of places.
He looks over at Pharaoh. Sure can.
Indeed. One must leave no stone unturned, but when one is turned to stone, all is turned to death or buried in the loam.
Very wise, Pharaoh.
Poem? Is that a poem?
I don't know.
Oryk, the door.
It's not trapped.
Doesn't seem like it is.
All right. And he'll try to quietly...
Flame strike.
We're incinerated.
We die. Skip my turn. Don't open the door.
You open the door, and the seeker moves behind you to spill some more light in. It looks like a study of some sort, maybe like a ancient office. There's a rickety old desk that really is just a table, and some shelves that hold yellowed papers.
I'll step in.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh wow. Jeez. A lot of papers in here. Okay.
Look at these texts. Pharaoh?
Pharaoh is going to follow into the room. Oh wow.
And Saint also steps in behind Pharaoh. Yeah. Wow.
Oof, if these walls could talk.
Ellison will step into the room and cast Detect Magic. Natural 20.
Whoa. Super magic.
You detect magic from a little statuette on the desk.
And I'll point to it, but I'll continue concentrating. That there. Tell me your secrets.
Work.
I'm going to look for any other threats in the room, so I'll move around and look between the desks and shelves and stuff and just seeing if anything's hiding in here.
Okay, looking around. You can sense danger now. It's so eerily quiet in here with the exception of that wind that's whistling, howling through the castle. Did you just hear that piano again? No. Just a memory. Nothing. You see, he's pointing to some obsidian statue. Pharaoh?
I'm gonna start sort of passing over, looking through these papers on the table next to me, like looking through, getting an idea of what they are.
You start looking, and some of them almost fall apart to the touch. They're so old, so you try to like maybe read them without disturbing them. Most of them appear to be holy texts to Saint Taragnus. But then you also see missives between various leaders in the area and a group known as the Green Knights. And you see the symbol of the Green Knights is that same coat of arms that was in the room, the same heraldry. And so you realize, okay, these are messages that the Green Knights are sending out to the kings and the dukes and everything in the area and receiving messages back. And you see some of the notes are like, there have been more and more demon sightings in the gloaming lately. Notes about the Green Knights, they're struggling to contain them. It's becoming out of hand to the point where they can't hold them back. And then there is an ominous looking parchment that catches your eye that was once sealed with wax, but the seal has been broken. Perhaps was the last thing whoever was in this room read, because it's still like curled up.
I carefully unfurl it.
It's just grim reading.
And I open it up to my own light and take a look.
It says, to the High Council of the Green Knights, patrols along the northern shores of Lake Finnemir report growing disturbances beneath the earth. The men claim to hear sounds in the deep rock. At first, they thought they stumbled upon a quarry because the noises were that of hammering or mining. Yet the sounds continued through the night, long after any honest labor should have ceased. Our scouts ventured deeper and discovered ancient gates beneath the earth, broken open from within. The craftsmanship was unparalleled, though no mark of any known clan could be found upon the stone. The tunnels were filled with heat and the smell of sulfur. The men refused to go any further. I fear something has awakened in the deepest parts of the world. And then there's little notes in the marginalia written in a different hand that say, perhaps this validates Sir Yidris's theory. And beneath this hurried ink, I fear he is wrong. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, no. Oh.
Whoa.
No. Let me read the rest.
Please, I need the details.
I need more information.
Oh, so interesting. The ways that we're finding this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Cool.
Down there.
Oh, so cool.
Pause the torches, pause the torches. Too late.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome and enter if you dare. Hi, I'm Hallie Kiefer.
And I'm Allison Leiby. And together, we're the hosts of Ruined, a scary movie podcast where Hallie tells me the grisly details of a haunting new horror film each week.
Whether you're a terror hound like me or a scaredy cat like Allison, we've got so many thrills, chills, and obviously kills to share with you in every episode.
It's the podcast that'll have you saying, "That was so funny. I should not have listened to it at night with all the lights off."
From the greats like The Exorcist and Poltergeist to modern classics such as Hereditary and Get Out to the freakiest new releases like A Quiet Place and Terrifier, we ruin them all and we'll leave you howling, mostly from laughter, sometimes because you're turning into a werewolf.
Ooh. Listen along as I try and guess the movie's twist, predict who will survive, and answer the hardest question of all. What would you do?
So please listen to new episodes of Ruined every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And whatever you do, we're begging you, please
keep it spooky.